Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to the seventh episode of the Trade Show Podcast. I'm delighted to present Adam Perry, the editor of EventIndustryNews.com, a leading online publication covering the latest news and trends in the event industry. Today, in his second appearance on the show, Adam discusses the state of the event tech landscape and his take on AI-enabled technology, where it is and where it could be.
That's where the secret sauce will be. I think if you're an organizer or a planner, and you think event technology companies are going to solve everything using AI, that's not the case. Their systems and their to get the most out of their systems and their technologies and their stuff will still need to talk to your marketing platform, to your CRM, to your database, to your analytics tools to really get the full value out of all of that.
Adam Perry is the editor of EventsIndustryNews.com, a leading online publication covering the latest news and trends in the event industry. With over a decade of experience and passion for all things events, Adam has established himself as a top thought leader in the field, providing insightful commentary and analysis on the latest developments in the industry. Whether it is breaking news, expert interviews, or in-depth features, Adam is committed to bringing his readers the most up-to-date and relevant information on the world of events. When he's not busy working, Adam enjoys traveling and attending industry conferences to stay on top of the latest trends and innovations in the field. Now, onto this insightful episode with Adam Perry. Adam, welcome back to the Trade Show Podcast. I'm, as always, delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me back again, mate. I feel very honored to be back on it just after such a short while.
Absolutely. In fact, I was just checking on the platform. We did our last recording on 10th of June. So yeah. we are sort of keeping a quarterly cadence, you see. That's my agenda with you, that once a quarter I should circle back, because you have such a unique vantage point from which you are looking at this entire space. Very few. I mean, it's not that it's absolutely nobody. As far as technology is concerned, I don't know of anybody else. But yeah. Events and trade shows in general, I know there are one or two other sort of sources, people who are doing this, but it's a unique vantage point because you are also doubling down on the tech space. Yeah. So that's really unique. Like I said, I have been looking at some reports, you know which they are, and we will talk about them, not necessarily the reports, but what the reports talk about. I wanted to basically start by saying, by asking rather, do you see any major change or shift in the event tech landscape, either on its way, either underway or on its way?
I mean, I think the obvious shift is the leveraging of AI. Okay, so that both comes from an organizational perspective. These are companies, and AI is obviously touching multiple facets of their business, whether that's operationally, sales, marketing, other elements of the business, content creation, that kind of stuff. But then also we're seeing that now by event technologies companies themselves harnessing AI capabilities for smoother onboarding, processes behind the scenes, streamlining of processes for organizers. And I think that's a really good space to be in, because what we all know is that event technology has been a tricky adoption for the industry. That's because we don't necessarily have event technology specialists and things like that.
Right. So, yeah, in fact, very, very serendipitously, I was having my previous conversation with Marsha Flanagan, who is the president of IAEE, and she also sort of flagged AI. Now, for sort of a layman, it is not a surprise, because AI is everywhere last 2 years, right? So post OpenAI coming out, I think 23, 24 has been a lot of focus on AI. The question is AI actually being used as AI, or is it sort of automation, which is really not AI, but a process software? You know what I mean?
I've certainly seen absolute uses of AI already by event technology companies. Yeah, certainly having been privy to looking under the hood and things like that. And I think also applications of AI now for the events industry, if you don't mind me mentioning a company, there is a company called Congo that has seen an opportunity to use the AI recording technology we've become used to on Zoom phone calls and things like that to now bring that into a personable, wearable device into the trade show environment where exhibitors and other people can use it to retain information from conversations they have, whereas that might be more difficult in that live environment because it's not very kind or polite to get a notepad out and start scribbling lots of notes when we're just kind of having these conversations. And I believe in that type of technology because I came across something a while ago, which was some research into, which is now called the forgetting curve, which is retention of information is about 20% after 5 days. When you throw an event in there and other things like networking, all that kind of stuff, that's even less. I think, you know, looking back maybe, let's say a decade ago, where there were companies saying we're using AI technology, that was just database matching and things like that. It wasn't really AI.
Yeah.
And even so, I don't think it's really at this stage anything more impressive than what ChatGPT is really. You know, it's a basic AI model and tool. I think the real opportunity though for the events industry is that partnership between tools and technology that we have as an ecosystem, as a supply chain, but also organizations also doing and using AI internally, and those two pieces connecting together and talking to each other and working together. That's where the secret sauce will be. I think if you're an organizer or a planner and you think event technology companies are going to solve everything using AI, that's not the case. Their systems and to get the most out of their systems and their technologies and their stuff will still need to talk to your marketing platform, to your CRM, to your database, to your analytics tools to really get the full value out of all of that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's probably still true to this day that there's probably some companies using AI more as a marketing term than an actual technology.
Yeah, so absolutely. So one area that I see definite impact, like you said just now, is where any kind of repetitive work is happening, which can be sort of transferred to AI. So the organizers, obviously, wherever the complex pieces are, where multiple back and forth are involved, that can be replaced by AI much more in the near term, because that's easy to do in a way.
And I think also in real time and in natural language as well, right? So in the lead up to the event and planning the event and things like that, a lot of people have sat in front of a desktop and they can do things and they can update information and resources and things like that and disseminate that information to the rest of the team. The difficulty comes though, and the margin for error increases when you're actually at the event and on site in the build up and the lead up. And an example of that where I think AI can solve this is, let's say a speaker drops out and you need to update the education team, the AV team, somebody who's dealing with presentation decks, somebody who's managing hotel bookings for those people and all this kind of stuff. And there's all of these different people and things that you need to update and stuff.
Yeah.
And the time it takes in a live environment to do that is very, very difficult. But I'm seeing voice-enabled chat assistants built and designed for the events industry come about where I'll be able to speak to that solution and say, hey, whatever the name of it is, please update all relevant teams, documentation and information that Adam Parry, the speaker, is no longer going to be here. And it will go off and do that accurately in seconds rather than it takes somebody maybe the best part of an hour or more to kind of
agreed.
Check all those boxes.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, what's triggering is I just before I came back to Calgary, I was in LA attending the Project Management Institute's global summit. Okay. And I there was a lot of talk about AI in project management softwares. Yes. And as you are speaking, I'm literally thinking that this is really what we are talking about is project management. And the additional bit that you put in is the natural language processing capabilities. I did see a bit of it, not too much. People are still not using that as the input mechanism. But I can totally see it that on the run, you figure out that somebody's missing, just put it in saying, hey, this person is missing. So all the associated people and organizations, like you said, hotels or car bookings or whatever, I think I totally see what you're saying.
I think the way that I'd also liken it is in and around events, everybody knows the term radio chatter. Lots and lots of radio chatter. Has somebody come? Has this arrived? Is this? Da, 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 da. Lots of these questions, and sometimes it's no, we'll give you an update, blah, blah, blah. Mm. I think we can reduce that as well and give more focus to the task at hand by me just asking the chatbot, has that parcel arrived? Has that person arrived? Has that exhibitor arrived? What is the status of this? And I think, you know, ultimately the bones and structure of what events are is it's event project management, it's event planning, right?
Exactly.
It's about information and aligning things and getting things ready on time for a deadline. And I think AI, one of the biggest opportunities is the efficiency that it will create around the whole process. And hopefully that will have a positive impact on stress levels and other factors as well.
Absolutely. So just before we move on from this and go back to the findings, do you see any area where it can impact the attendee experience?
Absolutely. I think I'll give you a basic element of where it can enhance, and it's something really simple and something that doesn't really take any learning curve and is already there at the moment. In fact, I can give you a couple of examples. Mm-hmm. One is AI translation. Okay. We live in a world with, I think there's more than 300 languages on this planet. Okay. The predominant assumption is everybody should speak English as a first language.
Yeah.
Predominant language. Now, that might be the case, but that can be quite exclusive to people. Mm. And especially with events that are, let's say, based around medical, scientific, translation is extremely, extremely important.
Absolutely.
But actually to do it to everybody that you might to with people interpreters on the whole is super expensive. Not taking anything away from actual people that can interpret and translate, because that's still really, really relevant and really important. But now you can go to an event like Eventsec Live that we host in November, and you can get that session translated into the vast majority of those general languages that people will speak dominantly: Spanish, Italian, German, Mandarin, other languages and things like that. That now means our event has become extremely more accessible and can attract more people. So that's one example. Another example, and we had this activate last year and we'll have it activate this year, is we had professional photographers going around just snapping away, taking candid pictures of speakers and attendees talking and laughing and joking and all this kind of stuff. And then we sent a little message to say, hey, we're doing this. There might be a picture of you. They scanned their face, the technology went off, facial recognition and AI, found all the photos of that person and gave them something meaningful to share about their time at the event that was very personal to them. Rather than say, oh, I've just attended a great session, or I've just met with my old buddy, you know, from 10 years ago, whatever. Just something like in the moment that's visual that they could share. And we saw great pull through for that. So there are dozens of applications of AI already taking place in and around the event space, matchmaking on connection requests and making those serendipitous meetings more meaningful through actual, you know, connection based on interest areas and likeness and things like that. You know, I went to Inbound last week and that was 10,000 attendees. Now, I naturally gravitated to the people in the room that I already knew because that was the most comfortable to me. But there could have been a dozen more that I should have met with And at the moment, the challenge there is, how do I find them meaningfully? And I think that's, again, where AI is going to be changing that for us as well.
Yeah, I think these are all great points. And the good part is that you really don't need to redevelop stuff. For instance, matching photo with facial recognition is not something new, right? So that technology exists. We just need to rethink how it can be utilized and made meaningful. Not only utilized, but made meaningful. Like you said, it makes it easy for me to share something where I am there, but I've not taken it. Somebody has taken it for me and it's available. It's not a selfie, which is very, very intentional and stuff like that. But
I have a vision that in future, as attendees, we will plug in our personal ChatGPT. So we'll connect it up to the event API on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
The two systems will talk to each other, know exactly why I want to be at this event and what I want to do and all that kind of stuff. And the systems together will give me an agenda, time slots. It'll go off and connect up with other relevant people, some of the sessions I need to attend, work out my travel, my accommodation, give me suggestions for restaurants, other things I want to do while I'm at the city. You know, I literally a full schedule and agenda are mapped out for me so I can maximize my time at the event and also retain and collect all of that meaningful information and connections that I did at the event. That to me is the vision of what I have of where AI will really play a part in attendee experience, because my system will talk to the event system and they'll know exactly what I want out of it.
Yeah, this sounds very, very, very alluring, to put it simply. And as you rightly said, I mean, maybe you will build it. I don't know, but
it is not. About it. I can't build it.
We don't know. But on a more serious note, I think this is completely doable. That's the good part of it.
Yes.
You don't have to invent anything literally. Okay, once we figure out how to extract carbon from, you know what I mean? So we don't have to really do that. We can do it literally today. Yeah. And I think this is, and this will make it so much more rich for the attendee, because with all the organization and all the brands participating, the core finally remains the attendee.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
For all events. Great. So let's sort of talk about the report on the state of the event tech industry that you published. You have basically broken it up into four kinds of users, like agency, brands, event promoters, and associations, and so. So where do you see the maximum impact of technology happening today, and where do you see the most growth? So adoption and growth in terms of new application and new tech coming in.
Yeah, we're actually just about to release a report specifically on AI adoption for the events industry. This will be, depending on when this is out, it'll either be out by that time or just about to come out, which is around EventTech Live in November. And actually, it's quite extensive. There are 14 sections to this new report specifically around AI. It goes into general trends and observations. It goes into detailed use cases, challenges, objections, concerns, and all these kinds of things, because we think it's really, really important to break down. In terms of adoption, it really depends actually more so on what type of organization you are versus what type of event owner you are, agency. Although agencies and brands are leading in this sphere when it comes to use and adoption. And I think brands, because they often fall under the corporate banner, you know, we're talking about Amazon, Nike, other kind of stuff. And those organizations themselves are making real spearheads to adopt AI across the whole business unit. So therefore that trickles down into the event side of the business. And it really depends on what type of organization, which is where the most focus is going. Smaller organizers at the very much moment are using AI much more around content creation, maybe assets for marketing, session abstracts, descriptions, those kinds of things, maybe marketing copy, that kind of stuff, very, very low entry, kind of easy to pick up access and that kind of stuff. Mid-tier are using it for more, starting to use it for analytical elements of it, understanding the audience demographics, the interactions with the events, what's happening, and very much again around that automation, project management, finessing, and making better usage there. On the upper end, on the higher ends of scale, the biggest focus is about opportunities, identifying opportunities within the events, within their audiences, looking at scaling, looking at reductions in costs and other areas, you know, not doing something because that's always the way it's always been done, actually mm-hmm. using AI to analyze the data to see if it's an effective use of money, budget, time, all that kind of stuff. And also unveiling opportunities for growth, identifying clusters of audience that could be brought out into a new type of event and such. Data privacy, cybersecurity is also up there in terms of those areas where AI has been used for protection for IP and data and things like that. And then the larger organizations are also very much in the, I'm not going to swear because that would be wrong of me, but it's in the something and find out kind of sphere. And I think they're much, the larger organizations are actually taking a much more playful approach to say, yes, go off, here's a budget, explore what AI can do for your division or for your event and things like that. Feed that back to us and we'll feed that back internally to the AI team and then see if we can deploy that across the whole business. And so it's very much in a fast-paced like learning area at the moment that failing fast is actually the way to progress quicker and better. So there is no wrong way to implement it. It's just there are obviously parameters of use and data and things like that. But that's what we're seeing on the that's what we're seeing on the upper side. And what we're seeing from the event technology companies that it probably accounts for 14 or more percent of organizations that are going really feet first into AI. And I think others are looking at it, researching it. Where does AI fit into their roadmap, and what impact does it have on budgets and things like that? Because obviously, all of this stuff from a technology perspective costs money.
Of course. I mean, before the customers start paying for it meaningfully, even that process is expensive. I mean, to even build something and make it available. Coming to the associations, which are sort of leading voice or platforms which captures the needs and requirements and so on, do you see anything specific happening there in terms of technology push or move towards a certain direction?
Are we talking here about associations as an organizer type or event industry associations specifically?
Yeah, even industry associations. I wonder, I mean, when you talk of associations and production companies, etc., are these, I presume that they are industry associations, but they're not, are they?
Yeah, that's right. So I think, you know, what does the role of associations play? You've got organizations like the Events Industry Council that will go out and do insight and reporting and surveying and feed that intel and information back to their audiences and stuff like that. I myself am part of the Association of Event Organizers, which ultimately is Trade Show World, to be honest with you. Clarion, right. Closer Still, Informa, those kind of organizations, but do have an independent organizing arm to it. And actually, they're latest event, a large proportion of that actually revolved around this conversation around the use of AI. I was speaking on a panel with Terrapin and Clarion and EasyFares around this. And the interesting thing out of that is everybody's highly invested. Everybody's very inquisitive. Some are way more advanced than others, but also in that room there are some that are extremely cautious and want to hold AI at arm's length for the time being. Maybe they want other people to make the mistakes and not them, not so much and stuff. So as an association, really, it's not necessarily the association itself that's moving the conversation forward when it comes to AI, it's the membership. And what's very interesting about associations is, and this is no different for the AO, ultimately everybody in the room is a competitor, right? We all organize shows. We're all trying to target similar companies, or in some cases, the exact same company. And in some cases, it's with very similar products. And for the first time, you know, event technology has not really been seen as a tactical advantage, shall we say? You know, okay, we can make our events better or, you know, whatever by adopting apps and better registration solutions and all that kind of stuff. But nobody's, I don't think at the moment in time, looking at a registration provider and going, that's going to give me an edge over my competitor.
That's true.
When it comes to AI, though, that is definitely the sense that I get in the room, because of how deep and how much potential there is in this, not only from internally for their own teams and their own insight and stuff, but also for their exhibitors in terms of their ROI and the benefits that they get out for the event. So at the moment, the conversation is actually quite open and the dialogue is there and ideas are being shared and things like that. But I can honestly see, you know, the strategies and the development and stuff becoming quite sensitive and quite protected, actually, if I'm honest.
Yeah, and I can make sense of it, because this might provide some edge for a while, at least before other people catch up. I mean, eventually everybody's going to catch up. Yeah. But it's like, okay, in the next 2 years, if you can roll this out and wow your, you know, exhibitors or attendees and they there's a word of mouth and they come back to the next show, I think there is a value to be added and money to be made in that process.
Yeah, I'm going to give you an example of this. And it was Paddy Cosgrave, the founder of Web Summit, that, you know, very much early on, his marketing pitch was that they use data scientists to design the perfect event. I call BS on that personally, but that's just me. I think, you know, but that's in essence, the foundation of that is actually really interesting. And I think there's some merit to that way of thinking if you can do that. Because what you can't measure, you can't improve. What you can't measure, you can't change. And the events industry is very much done on gut feeling and somewhat being close to a sector and things like that and seeing an opportunity. But I think, you know, let's look at the trade show market. The vast majority of it, the big stuff, is all private equity backed. These organizations are not looking at steady companies. They are looking for high growth opportunities that are sellable or IPO'd in the future.
Right.
That is going to be based, that the edge on that market is going to be based on data. 19 Group have just recently done a fantastic job of getting to the point where they've just sold for £225 million. It's a substantial amount of money. But maybe in 2 years, they'd have sold for $500 million if they'd have leveraged AI and used AI to grow even further and exponentially. Probably not 19 Group, because Peter Jones is, I don't think he's necessarily the biggest tech advocate. But, you know, there is an organization out there that will eke additional points out on the stock market by using AI to grow their businesses.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
One of the biggest challenges around events is event discovery. You know, where are my customers? What are the trade shows to go to? And I think there'll be systems, tools, and things that come into play, whether they're existing or others, that will help marketers make those investment decisions and justify those investments. That's good for the events industry, because while many people might see it as a way for people to say no to an event, it will mean the ones that they ones that they say yes to will provide better results. Therefore, they'll invest more and more money into those events.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. we can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. The typical go-to technology motion is let's automate what we already do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And nothing wrong with that. That's great. That's where you bring in the efficiency and so on and so forth. But I think reimagining with completely a whiteboard saying, okay, this technology is now available, and what can this technology enable? I mean, it is sort of what, it's like the COVID redux, right? So, you know what I mean? I mean, you had to reimagine because you had no option. You had to reimagine how events should be if in the eventuality we never meet again. Thankfully, that's gone. But that's the mindset which sort of triggered a lot of stuff.
The analogy that I would give is two mindsets to, let's say, motorsport, okay? So one way of going fast around a track is to have half a tank of fuel, not a full tank of fuel. That is a optimization. That is a reduction in weight. Therefore, you go faster. You go faster around the track. The difficulty is that you don't get as far, right? So you could use AI in that analogy of let's optimize, right? Let's optimize, because that will make you go faster. But another approach would be to look at AI and go, well, while they're busy just doing the simple stuff, which is reducing the fuel by half, we're going to redesign the engine from the ground up. That's also going to go twice as far on half the amount of fuel, and it's going to allow us to go faster. That's the direction that people need to be going in, because the path of least resistance is just to fill the tank half full. That's the easy way. The real longevity in it will be to redesign the engine from the ground up.
Yeah, and do you have some thoughts? You did touch upon it from the attendee point of view, which was very alluring, as I said. Do you see how this is likely to play out at all? Do you have some thoughts about that? When we think of ground up rethinking?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges around events is event discovery. You know, where are my customers? What are the trade shows to go to? And I think there'll be systems, tools, and things that come into play, whether they're existing or others, that will help marketers make those investment decisions and justify those investments. That's good for the events industry, because while many people might see it as a way for people to say no to an event, it will mean the ones that they say yes to will provide better results. Therefore, they'll invest more and more money into those events and Absolutely. Or others, right? So that's a positive trend I think we'll see of the use of AI. Again, a positive use of AI will mean that they are more sophisticated in their approach. Even if they are a young company, they will be able to use AI to come up with a strategy specifically for that event, marketing in the lead up, activation on site, and post show follow up. There are so many companies that come to events so green, seeing big numbers on billboards, thinking they're going to just walk away with millions of dollars in orders, approach it in totally the wrong way because they've got no research or no information or strategy to go on, waste a lot of money and time and go away saying events don't work. Hmm. Events work extremely effectively, but if you've got no strategy, they're not going to work for you. And I think in addition to that and follow-up to that, the most important thing is the follow-up. So much effort, time, and money is wasted because of ineffective follow-up strategies, ineffective follow-up messaging, no lead nurturing, no personalization to follow-up. Part of that comes from inefficiency, as I said earlier, around collecting, retaining, and understanding, analyzing the conversations and information collected at a show. And then also the follow-up process, which is now that we understand what that person wants and why they were talking to us in the first place, how do we connect that up with what we can offer, and how do we analyze what the right nurture program is? Is it, do we go straight to demo? Do we go straight to an ask for a booking or a contract? Or does that customer, did that customer say to us that 18 months out from a purchasing decision, so we need to put them into a different nurturing program because they're not going to make a decision for 18 months?
Absolutely.
And I think those are all things where if that exhibitor has a better time, they're going to love our event even more so. They're one are going to do more. They're one are going to go bigger. They're going to want to rebook. And I think that on its whole will just uncover the whole value of events in a more digital advertising way, which is very transparent in terms of I spend X, I get X.
Yeah. Actually, totally makes sense. And you literally touched a raw nerve on the follow-up piece, because that's really the Achilles heel for most exhibitors.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a strategy.
Nope.
And they do a very, very, very poor job of doing that. And it's strange, right? You'd imagine that that's the one thing that you would want to do. But I speak to so many exhibitors, and 95%, I'll not say everybody, 5% is there who have a plan, and they do certain things which they believe would help their process. May not be optimized, may not be great, but they do have a process. There is a thinking.
Yeah.
95% has no thinking. It's like, this is how it is done. So that's how we are doing it. So how is it working out for you? It's not working out very well. What will you do the next exhibition? Same thing.
Yeah. Then the same people, same strategy, same messaging, not prepare our team, not give them the support. Had a conversation today with a long-standing exhibitor, a great exhibitor, Event Tech Live, but somebody new is now managing the project for them, who openly said to me, I have no experience on this, but it's been given to me as a job. I'm like, right, okay, well, my job now is to make you as good as you can be, so that that event does well for you, because if you fail, the event fails. If the event fails, the company's not coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just to wrap this up, when I'm looking at the landscape, the event technology landscapes, there are not many. See, I'm like you and I were both used to Scott Binker's marketing tech landscape and Nicholas Kochowski's sales tech landscape. That looks seriously elaborate and very, very sort of thin sliced and so on. When I'm looking at the event tech, whatever I have access to, maybe I'm not looking at the right thing, by the way. I'm looking at the Skift and I'm looking at the Bolt Push. There were some other companies doing it, but I don't see any of the latest landscapes from them.
So no, and I think, we've been asked about this and why aren't we doing it and all that kind of stuff. And the honest answer, it takes a huge amount of time and resource and maybe a bit of community pull and things like that. It's not a 10-minute task.
True.
Let's put it that way.
It's not.
And it's, I looked at Web Summit the other day and earmarked at least 20, possibly 30, going to 40 companies that were coming into the space and had elements of events or were core at their event technology or kind of integrated with the industry. So, there's very much bleeding edges with it. And ultimately, event tech is part of MarTech.
Right.
It is part of MarTech. It's part of the marketing stack. But there are others like Skift with their Almanac and even Julius Solaris of Bold Push. The challenge becomes is that nobody's really taking hold of it and going, I'm going to do this. I'm going to research the industry. This is where the players are. This is where everybody in the market. Because as far as I'm aware, and if I'm wrong on this, please let me know if anybody's listening to this or watching this back. They're both doing that based on submissions. So the companies themselves have to reach out, see the call for it, submit it in the right format, in the right time to be included in those infographics or those solutions. Whereas my own opinion is to do it properly, you need to do a Gartner approach to it. You need to go out, research the market, plot it out. This is exactly how we see it. This is how we've plotted it. This is the methodology to it. And if you're not on here, it's because we can't find you. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
But waiting for submissions to come in is not necessarily, in my opinion, the way to do it. It's the, I'm going to be very careful, I want to use laziest way to do it. But it's not the most effective, in my opinion. And I think, you know, there is a market for it. There's a place for it. And maybe, you know, Josiah at Go Lucid is actually probably the best place to do it, because he, as far as I'm concerned, from what I can see, he's done the most research on companies and actually been the one of the very few people that's not a buyer that sat through hundreds of demos with these companies.
Right, right. So just to take you through broadly, we talk about all-in-one platforms, mobile apps, on-site tech, venue sourcing, content management, registration, which is a big one, event marketing, housing, audience management, and virtual events, right? So that's broadly the segments. Do you see any specific segment which should be there and it's missing?
I mean, you could probably start to get quite specific, but I think what the... So here's the thing about event tech, right? So all of those categories that we've just discussed are about the planning, production, and delivery of the event, the lead up to it, and the overall event experience. But actually, as event companies, we also use lots of other technologies and software and solutions to manage the process that don't necessarily see themselves as event technologies. Through the pandemic, we saw some other companies start to come into the market, like Zoom with a more events-focused product, RingCentral through their acquisition of Hopping Stuff, being in predominantly in communications, Cisco acquiring technologies like Slido, but that not necessarily really being about making an impact on the events industry. That was actually taking an event technology and putting it in education. I think actually the industry would be better if we could shine a spotlight on the market more from some of those wider other business cases for, like, let's say Salesforce or CRMs in general, or other marketing tools, Google, for example, you know, or let's even look at other technologies like HubSpot and stuff like that. Like, events are a huge user base for them, but we don't really get any focus, which means we don't get any help. We don't get any tailored help, tailored education from those organizations about how we might want to leverage. You go into financial and legal and these other verticals, and there's tons of, like, use HubSpot for legal in this way, use HubSpot for, you know, for medical in this way, whatever. But for the events vertical, not so much. So I would like to see the events industry overall get a bit more love in that respect, I think.
Yeah. And although we touched upon it, but just to, so that we have not missed out anything, any specific segment which are already pre-identified as very event specific, any specific segment you see maximum movement? So there are two types of movements I'm talking about. One is that what kind of mergers and acquisitions is scenarios are emerging according to you. I do hear a bit of that. And number two, where is innovation? And again, when we're talking innovation, I think AI would be a big component of all innovations that will come. But is there anything which can be separated out as a specific thing?
Yeah, so I think through movement and shaking, I think I'll call upon the recent acquisition of Cvent, from Cvent of Splash. You know, we're seeing marketing technologies more and more so be looked at as a way to grow existing event technology companies, because that's touching a part of the business that is 365 days a year rather than a one-off. So when you become more ingrained in the marketing side of the business, of the events and things like that, then let's be honest about it, it's harder for you to move away from event technology to another provider, because it's all integrated. If your core piece of technology you're using is the audience acquisition, audience communication, that kind of audience nurturing, and registration comes as part of that, then why would you move away from registration at that point from that company? Because that just doesn't make sense, right? It's integrated. So I think that's another area we'll see kind of companies being picked up by some of the other companies and merged, things like that. Operational technology, organizations like FAIR, F-F-A-I-R, which are helping that back office streamlining process, both for the organizer and the exhibitor, making it a really, really seamless experience. Much, much better, reducing phone calls and messages and emails and all that kind of stuff, and generating revenue for the organizers as well, you know, upsell opportunities and purchasing of other items and things that they want at the show. So there's a revenue thing there. The categories that don't exist, I wouldn't know how to categorize it at the moment, but it's back to that kind of like, and I don't think AI assistant clarifies it, but back to the conversation we had at the top about products like Congo, that AI personal assistant about retaining information, recording conversations, the natural language AI assistant to update projects and other tools and things like that. They themselves are on their own category, but like how we categorize them in terms of naming and things like that to make it so people understand it. I'm not going to put a name on it now because I don't know what that is. But that's an emerging category that I think in its own right will be like glue connecting other things up.
Yeah, makes sense. What is your expectation from 2025?
Not much different to 2024, if I'm honest. We are not an industry that moves at pace. When it comes to the adoption of technology, that's partly because of the way that it's sold. You know, it's sold in multi-year contracts. The industry is not necessarily investing heavy in startups and helping those companies grow, which are the disruptors of new companies. Some break through fantastically, some really do. I think, unfortunately, what I see time and time again is new companies launching the same stuff that already exists, which is counterproductive. That just blurs the market in terms of more options and is anybody doing anything right. I think more innovation and the industry can move forward at a faster pace through more collaboration between supply chain, you know, integration, data flow. All of this stuff is still a major, 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 major headache for organizers. I mean, we're still in the world of registration providers and event app providers that work together on hundreds, if not thousands of events together through clients, still charging integration charges because another thing needs to be set up for this new event. That's counterproductive, in my opinion, in terms of, yes, okay, I understand there's a revenue element to it, to the company, but That's just creating friction between the supply chain and the buyer. So I think more collaboration. I think a great example of that is, you know, companies like FAIR working with ASP and an event app company and somebody else to really make a real nice connection and ecosystem so that if a company's using two of those or maybe three of those, it's a really easy decision to use the others.
Yeah.
And they know that partnership exists between those companies. So they don't have to have those integration conversations. They don't have to try and play piggy in the middle when something doesn't quite flow quite right. They can be confident that the companies will sort it out between themselves and they can move on and they can do the rest of their day-to-day job. So I think we need to see a lot more cooperation, collaboration, and working together between suppliers to give the space for innovation to thrive.
Yeah, I agree. And see, it's sort of like a chicken and egg situation, right? Like you said, when you are in the room with competitors, you are looking at them with a lens of suspicion because is he going to, I mean, he's now adjacent and I help him and I integrate with him and what happens? He starts making what I make. This exists in software as well. I mean, the regular software market, right? So I think building those relationships and building those ecosystems, which will actually benefit everybody. I mean, it is a give and take, right? So you will give a bit. It's not that you can only take from an ecosystem. So I think getting that straight is a challenge. I mean, yeah. So the other question, and this is my final question for today, is that which industries do you see actually investing in events so that as a way of enhancing their business? So which are the industries that I think that the
big five, right? The energy, the motor, you know, that covers a lot. Pharmaceutical, scientific, those kind of things, engineering, technology. It's interesting for me to see, you know, you have some of the biggest digital technology companies on the planet, and I'm going to use Google as an example, who invest hundreds of millions of dollars annually on face-to-face events, right? We're talking about the company that owns the digital advertising and marketing space. Like, you cannot move and not touch Google. Yet they're investing hundreds of millions of dollars in events. And I think that's the biggest telling thing, because as much as they are a global company, as much as they are at scale, as much as insight, data, track, the Google tracking that they do and all that kind of stuff and all that insight that they have, they still value in person. There's something about in person that all of that other stuff cannot deliver for them. So I think, you know, events to me are like the roots of a tree for industry. We literally touch every sector, industry, vertical on this planet, right? Even from new industries that are born, like AI, you know, there are thousands of events already trying to support people on AI. Right. So it's hard. Obviously, the big ones invest the most because they are the biggest. So therefore, there are more of them. The companies in them invest more in that kind of stuff. But, you know, on a global scale, the smaller, more emerging markets and things like that probably invest more because there's a wider spread of them.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com. Yeah, this is a great note to end on. And as you know, I'm going to circle back to you again, pull you in into one of these conversations, because I really enjoy it. I enjoy chatting with you, but more importantly, I think I enjoy learning, because this is such a privilege, actually, Adam. You have seen this for so long, and you are generous with your time, at least with me, and I tend to take advantage of that. But it's really wonderful having you back and having this chat. And
No, I appreciate, and you know, right before we jumped on, you said, "Oh, it's close to your event. Like, how can you afford the time to do this?" And I think, listen, there's two things I'll say on that. One is that I find this a great way to switch off from some of the other work to work this stuff. And I think, you know, in a privileged position that I am, that I also have the opportunity to do the same as what you're doing, ask lots of people great questions that know that part of their business or that vertical or that sector or that job description better than I ever will. Like, it's my duty to give that some of that information back and some of my insight and my things back. Like, we only get better through knowledge sharing. Yeah. I mean, flipping heck, that's what events are about, right?
Like, exactly.
At the essence of it. So, you know, hopefully somebody's taking something away from this, and maybe they're the next big event technology company. Maybe somebody's doing a better job of implementing technology. I wouldn't rest well if I didn't kind of share my knowledge. I mean, some people probably think I'm an idiot, but that's fine. That everybody's entitled to their opinion. But yeah, I think for those who, and this is hard for me to say this, but those of us who have profile in the industry have a duty to help elevate and lift up the entire industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, thank you so much for joining us today, and I'll circle back soon enough.
Sounds good.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a Bizcast original podcast and is produced for Pitchlink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.